I love when my next guest comes calling because, you know, on Late Lunch all these years, my affinity with wildlife. Yes, she is our expert on the show from Wildlife Rehabilitation Ireland. Delighted to welcome back Aoife McPartland. Good to see you again.
And you, Gerry, as always.
Thanks for joining me. Well, it's the squirrel today in focus, and we're being very, very ecumenical here. It's about the red and the grey squirrel we're going to talk about. Maybe you could begin with that point, because the red is our native squirrel. Yes.
Yeah.
And the other fellas, an imposter that came to Ireland, I think Longford 1911.
Well,
is that right? Yeah, 1911. I had that in my head. Yeah. Who brought the American imposter in? Now, why did they bring him in?
Well, he was a very swanky birthday present, actually. So there was a big house, as they call it, a big house wedding in 1911 in Longford. And 12 squirrels were brought over, grey squirrels. They were shipped from America to the UK. And then the guests from the UK coming to the big house wedding brought these 12 squirrels as a present. So the present was revealed and all 12 of the present jumped out and ran off. So literally everything that we've had since have all come from those original 12.
12 original grey squirrels.
Yeah.
And, you know, by God, you say they ran off. They ran everywhere all over the country. They're really widespread, the grey squirrel, now.
Yeah, well, less so now, interestingly. So we can talk about that in a little bit. But they did go wide and far. Now, they didn't really get beyond kind of the Shannon. They didn't get quite that far west.
Right.
But they, everywhere else. I mean, really widespread. They really bred like squirrels. huge numbers. And that is declining.
Now, we'll come to that in a minute, but initially when they took hold and the populations grew in all these areas, especially, as you say, along the East Coast, you could say Leinster, Munster and Ulster as such, but the West of Ireland not, they had a detrimental effect on our native red squirrel. Why?
Yeah. A couple of reasons. First of all, they're bigger. So they're a lot bigger than the red squirrel. The red squirrel's a really, really small animal, actually. I think it only weighs about 380 grams or something like that. Tiny. So the grey squirrel is much, much bigger. So first of all, it was outcompeting the red squirrel for food. And the grey squirrel, you see, can digest unripe nuts and things like that, whereas the red squirrel can't. So the grey squirrel was getting to the food before it was even ripe. So it was eating up all the food before the red squirrel even had a chance to get there. So that was one thing. Also then, it has squirrel pox. So they just carry it. They don't suffer with it. But they are carriers of that disease, which decimates the red squirrel population. And it is spread kind of just throughout the environment. So if they're sharing environments, and they do, I think people sometimes have an idea that the grey squirrel is beating up on the red squirrel and attacking them and all that kind of thing. And they're really not. They actually can live side by side in that regard. They're not, fighting with each other or anything. But the disease carrying is astronomical for the reds, and it can kill them about 20 times faster than anything else, you know. So that's what it was. Mostly food and the squirrel pox disease.
So let's talk about the red squirrel for a moment, the native squirrel who's been here from the Ice Age. But I'm nearly sure, again, I have this in my head, around the 17th century or so, with the deforestation of Ireland, it virtually spelt the end for the red squirrel. Is that right?
Yeah. There was massive deforestation around that time, and the numbers absolutely plummeted. And they were just left in little pockets, you know. And when you're breaking up habitat like that, you're isolating pockets of animals, and the breeding becomes trickier then, if you can imagine. It's just the same little group breeding over and over again. So yeah, their numbers really struggled after that. So that was a big problem, and it took many, many years for them to recover to, and they didn't ever recover to what the original numbers were. But their numbers did recover over time. And then our other friend arrived
at that stage. Can I ask you this? As we sit here today in the Northeast and we talk about Louth and Meath and the surrounding counties, have we red squirrels in Louth and Meath?
We do.
In both counties?
We do, yeah. Yeah,
that lifts my heart.
Yeah, we do. And, in fairness, Gerry, you're right, as in Meath and Louth were probably last for the red squirrel to arrive in, but we have them now. So,
and why have they made a recovery as such, especially in these two counties? Now, I'm going to say something. Pine marten, we've mentioned before.
Yeah.
Is the pine marten a factor?
Absolutely, without a doubt. There is no doubt.
So explain the correlation of the pine marten to the recovery of the red squirrel,
please. Yeah, and it has been proven. They've done a lot of research on this with NUIG and the Vincent Wildlife Trust, the NPWS. They were all working together for quite some time, trying to track that correlation just to see, is it true, you know, the case that pine martens are reintroducing our red squirrel? And yes, it's been proven now based on the research, absolutely without a doubt. So what's happening is the pine marten and the red squirrel, they came up through time together. So okay, they've evolved together. So they're very familiar
they're
with each
buddies.
Other.
They're buddies.
Definitely not.
Would they live in harmony?
Well, look, the squirrel would be a huge food source for the pine marten. But the grey squirrel is far more numerous. So the grey squirrel is being predated upon by the pine marten. And also there's a really interesting video, if you can ever find it on YouTube, and I'll send it to you if I come across it. But it's a little bit gory, but it's very interesting. You can see the difference between the awareness of the red squirrel when it comes to the pine marten and the complete naivety of the grey. You see a pine marten approaching both, and they're both feeding in the same area, and the red squirrel immediately pops its ears up and it's looking and it scampers. The grey squirrel is just staring at the pine marten, literally doesn't mean anything to it, and the pine marten has it for dinner. So that's basically it. They've co-evolved, the red and the pine marten. The red squirrel as well is much more arboreal, so it spends a lot more time in the trees. The grey is on the ground a lot more, less aware of the pine marten, so the pine marten has an easy meal.
There you go. Nature in effect has itself, you know, assisted the repopulation of areas that were denuded of the red squirrel. So they're back. I just wonder, is anyone listening to us today in Louthermeath, or if you're anywhere else for that matter in the country, have you seen a red squirrel? Anyone seen a red squirrel? Or maybe got a snap of a red squirrel in your area? All our photographers out there and with our phones, etc. If you have, let us know. 086 1800 658. WhatsApp or text me now. And if you have a picture, we love to see them on WhatsApp. Have you seen a red squirrel? Or even let us know, are you aware of a red squirrel or red squirrels in your particular area in Louth and Meath? So there you are, the pine marten has helped. They are here, there are populations in both our counties. In a general sense then, is the red squirrel population in a healthy state?
Yeah, absolutely. So since 2012, I think, was the last survey that was done of red squirrel numbers. And since then, they have gone from near threatened to of least concern. So that literally means there's plenty and we don't need to be worried about their numbers anymore. And the pine marten also, their numbers have increased and they're very, very widespread now. So there's a lovely balance. And long may it last.
I've seen pine martens myself in this area, close to where I live as well. And it was fantastic to see them. And that really showed me, you know, they've arrived and they are making homes for themselves in this area. So the grey is still a substantial population, however. Like if you'll see them in towns, you'll see them at the city centre in Dublin, there's still huge populations of grey.
They are, however, they are being forced into urban areas. So that's the thing about the grey squirrels. And it's probably another factor in the demise of the red is that the red are very specific in their diet. So if you're very specific in your diet, you're nearly at a disadvantage. You know, you're not as adaptable. So if your food source goes, you're really going to struggle. Whereas the grey squirrels are very adaptable and you can see it. You can practically hand feed them in most of the parks in the city. So they're quite urbanised now. You won't see as many of them around the countryside as you would anymore. They're being forced into the urban areas, but you're a bit like the gulls. We spoke about them. People are feeding them. So if there's a food source, they'll take it. Yeah. So that's what's happening. So there are a lot of them concentrated in urban areas now.
That's why you'll see them in our towns and cities as well. Isn't that interesting? Well, the red's quite happy, you know what I mean, to populate the non-urban areas. Will you see reds in urban areas?
Not so much. Okay. No, they'd definitely be the rural cousin, yeah.
And again, we still don't have enough trees in this country. And in fact, sure, we're milling them left, right and centre to build houses. We need to keep this tree planting process up. Do they like particular trees, the red squirrel?
Yeah, definitely. And what's really, really good for them is the coniferous forest. So pine seeds are a continuous food source right through the winter. So as everyone knows, the squirrels are known for burying the nuts and things like that. So that's called cacheing. So where they're burying their food source for the winter. larger because they don't hibernate. So the food source is a lot less, but pine seeds are consistent. So pine forests, coniferous forests, that is really, really important. But any kind of deciduous forest, broadleaf, that's where they are. And also they are dispersing seeds themselves. So obviously they don't remember to pick up all the things that they buried. So they're really, really good seed dispersers themselves. So that's what, you know, it's all, again, it's kind of balance, isn't it?
Isn't that interesting? So no hibernation, that doesn't happen.
No.
They're not a hibernating creature, neither the grey nor the red as well. So, and that thing that you see about them storing the nuts, it is a fact.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And they can store thousands. And it's so clever because they will mind map where they store. So years and years ago, it used to be thought that they sniffed out the nuts, and they do to a degree, but they spread them so far and wide that there are thousands of them everywhere. So they will mind map. Imagine that, where they've got, and they can go back and they can dig them up, and they might restash them somewhere else if they think the area is getting a little bit dodgy and there's too much traffic. They'll dig them up and they'll restash, and then they'll remember again where they've put the new stash. So, yeah,
are they,
it's amazing.
Territorial? Has a squirrel his patch or her patch?
Yeah, not so much. I mean, they're very good. They live side by side. I mean, they you might get maybe 1 to 2 per hectare. That's probably about it. But they're not very, no, they wouldn't be scrappy or anything like that about territory. And in fact, the females will often share drays. So they could have a dray is what they build to have their kits in, which are the baby squirrels. And they will build a number of drays because they'll move them around sometimes, like foxes do, and a lot of animals do that. But they will share with other females as well. So yeah, they're not too bad. They're okay.
I was just saying to you that I did see a squirrel. It's a little while back, I think out the town Hall area in Drogheda, a red squirrel, which just lifted my heart. Only one I saw, and they're as fast as anything. But you were saying colour wise they sort of both the grey and the red change colour.
Yeah, they do, that's right, and that can confuse people. And I suppose if you haven't got the two squirrels side by side, and a grey might look small enough to you, but they do go a little bit kind of rusty, which can confuse people, because in the winter the red squirrel loses that really vibrant rusty colour that it's associated with, and it goes a more of a greyish brown kind of, so it's leaning towards the colour of the grey squirrel. But again, it's a size thing. So the reds are really, really tiny. And the distinctive thing about the reds, which is good in the winter, is how you can spot them as well. So when they change into that kind of less rusty colour, the tufts on the top of their ears start to grow as well. So they're quite long and tufted, whereas that isn't the case on the grey.
Very interesting. Are their life cycles similar?
Yeah, they are. Yeah. The greys, I think their breeding season is a little bit more, it's a little bit longer than the reds, as far as I know.
So they breed early in the year?
They breed early. The red squirrels start breeding in early spring, so they'll start having kits, which are the young ones, around March, April time. They can have anything up to 6. So anything literally from 1 to 6, that just depends. And the female, as with most cases, we say this all the time, is on her own when it comes to rearing the young. But they do share the drays with other females. So that can be quite nice as well. Obviously, they share different.
And when you say a dray, what is a dray? Describe it. What do they build? Is it a nest?
Yeah, basically it's a nest. It is a nest.
Up in the trees?
So they'll build it very, very high up into the tree, and it's like a little platform almost that they build on the side of the trunk, and it's just using sticks and leaves and moss and things like that. Now they'll use a trunk hollow, which is probably more associated traditionally when you think of squirrels, you think of them in the trunk. Yeah. And they will use a hollow if there's one there that they like that's high enough and protected enough. Otherwise, yeah, they'll just build it and kind of stick it onto the side of the trunk.
So say half a dozen they can have. Can they have a couple of litters in a season?
Yeah, so it all depends on the availability of food. So if there's a good availability of food, they'll go for an early and a late breed. So they can have 2, yeah, in a year.
And in terms of the mum looking after the kits, how long will she feed them for, and when will they start finding their own way?
Yeah, so she's pregnant for about 5 or 6 weeks, so not a very long pregnancy. And then they will stay with her for up to about 3 months, where they're fully dependent on her. And then they'll start to explore and make their way off. But they don't generally go too far. And some of them will overwinter with her as well. They won't all necessarily head off, but they will be fending for themselves. You know, she's not weaning or you're feeding or anything like that. You know, they've all been weaned. So about 3 months when they start to head off, and they're really tiny. I mean, the baby squirrels, the kits are born naked, blind. They're tiny. And if you think like mice or rats, they're rodents as well. So when you see a baby mouse or a rat, they're not gorgeous like, but they're the same family.
God help them.
You know, I know. But yeah, so they're rodents. And actually another interesting thing about them is that their teeth, the same as rats and mice, their teeth need to be maintained because rodents' teeth grow continuously. So they don't just come in and stay that size. They're constantly growing. So rodents, including the red squirrel and the grey squirrel, have to constantly gnaw to keep those teeth in check so they don't overgrow.
I see. So they keep them at a length by, you know what I mean? It's nearly like putting a file on them to file them down to keep them at a size. Interesting. And then the following year, females and males themselves, you know, mate, and the cycle goes on. It's simple as that.
Yeah, they're about 13 months old before they can mate. Now, unfortunately, again, probably, you know, like we've spoke about this before as well with a lot of other animals, that they don't live very long. So there's like a somewhere between 30% and 50% mortality rate in the red squirrel. Right. So the babies don't make it to their first year. They don't make it to the breeding year. But if they do make it, they live about 6 years. So that's not a really long life, but yeah.
I suppose for such a small creature, it is in a way. Predation, we know the grey, you know what I mean, has an impact on the red. Who predates on, you've heard about the greys and the
pine marten.
What about reds? Who are they vulnerable to?
The pine marten. Yeah,
right,
yeah,
as well. So he will.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I mean, the pine marten loves the squirrel, and you know he is a tree cat. That's his name in Irish. It's Catcran, so he can get up that tree as quick as the squirrel. So they will predate on squirrels. They just don't really need to predate so much on the reds because they've got so many greys to predate upon at the moment. But a badger or a fox, I mean, the usual crew will go for a red, but they can't really catch them. They're pretty fast, you know. So they're not too bad. Like, they're not easy to catch. So the pine marten is probably their biggest risk, and of course ourselves with all our decimation of our forests
with our human development as well. There's something about them, especially the red, I don't know what it is, there's something that appeals to me, I know anyway personally. I don't know what it is. I really love them. I think they're fantastic. Now when I see the greys as well, I have nothing against them, to be honest with you. I just know that they nearly push the red flies out of it. But what is it, what is the appeal in the squirrel?
Well, I think I'll actually, if you don't mind, I might just switch back there slightly to the greys, because it's probably no harm to make people aware that the grey is actually considered an invasive species, which means it's not welcome in this country. And that for the simple reason that it has decimated our native red population. So unfortunately, it can be very difficult if you're a wildlife rehabilitator and somebody arrives at your wildlife centre with an injured grey squirrel, because you are actually not legally allowed to rehabilitate
it. Important to know that.
Yeah. So it has to be humanely euthanized. Okay. And that's very difficult. If you can imagine, your whole ethos is about, you know, saving animals. Mm. And then So you do, if you see an injured grey squirrel, you report it to the National Parks and Wildlife Service.
Yes.
And
Heritage Week, you just want to mention quickly
you go. Yes, thanks a million. We have a free event in the Bettystown Civic Centre this coming Saturday at 1 o'clock, and it is a wildlife photography talk.
Everybody welcome. Get out there, enjoy it. It is free. Until the next time, Aoife McPartland, thank you for joining me on the show.
Thank you.